Yes, the third cost is the systems development charge that the property owner pays, and associated with that are inspection fees for inspecting the connection and the plumbing. The inspection fees, I believe, now are in the range of $20 to $50. They are under the same fee schedule applied anywhere within the city of Portland. There's no difference whatsoever inside or outside the city, and there's been no adjustment in those fees based upon this project, except, I believe, a couple of years ago, we did, because of the focus of the project, increase or improve the efficiencies in inspection, discontinued one inspection by moving the branch line instead of connecting up the curb line, having it go all the way to the property line. We were able to eliminate one inspection by a public rights-of-way inspector. Beyond that, those fees are exactly the same as paid anywhere else and are basically in line with what's been paid over the last many years. The other charge is the systems development charge itself right now, $875 for a single-family home. That is the same charge that has been levied inside and outside, or inside the city for years. It's actually at the beginning of this project, in large part because of federal grants, has come down from what it was even 3 years ago. But that charge is the same levied inside and outside. If there were industry locating in Rivergate, they would pay that same charge based on the equivalent dwelling units they would discharge to the sewer. Absolutely no difference whatsoever. There is, in every regard, no difference between inside and outside Portland in the affected area. Portland's policy prior to the beginning of this project was not to serve outside the city. And we just simply, the city did not do that unless it was under a contractual relationship with another agency. For example, we provide sewage treatment services to the city of Lake Oswego via a wholesale contract with the city. But we did not provide services on a retail basis. Because of the EQC order, the city agreed to provide service to the unincorporated area within the affected area only. And under terms of that order and in the implementation plan and following that with legislation that was passed last session, those services are provided at exactly the same rates and costs and systems and procedures as are provided inside the city itself. There was one difference in the financing of property owner assessments and connection charges in that the city did not want to levy Bancroft bonds or issue Bancroft bonds for properties in the unincorporated area because, as you know, those are double-barreled bonds and they're backed by the property tax base. And the city didn't want to use its tax base to support financings in the unincorporated area. But we did devise a means to provide the same cost financing by using the state DQ's Water Pollution Control Bond Fund to do that. And that's we're going to be issuing assessment bonds, and the state will be basically acting as the deep pocket on those bonds. So the result is the folks, even there, the folks in the unincorporated area will get the benefit of low-cost financing at rates comparable to what the city would have provided. That is the only distinction, and it's a distinction that has no net difference in cost to the people in the unincorporated area.
How have your systems development charges been over the last, say, 6 or 8 years? Fairly consistent, or?
Mr. Chairman, the systems development charges that we levy are based upon a carefully construed algorithm that is founded on the exact actual cost of major facilities constructed by the City of Portland, less grants received, because that's not money that we put into the system. That's money the feds put into the system. Based on the actual cost paid by the city to construct major facilities, the sewage treatment plant, the pump stations, and the interceptors. And those costs divided by the capacity of the system in equivalent dwelling units. So there's, for example, if there were 1 million dwelling units and we had spent $1 million on the sewer system, one EDU would be $1. And that then becomes the charge, and there are allowances in there for depreciation and for replacement costs, adjustments for replacement costs. But essentially, you are buying a piece of capacity, a measured piece of capacity based on the actual cost of constructing it. We had our charges reviewed by CH2M Hill 2 or 3 years ago, in part to evaluate Portland's charges in comparison to other cities to determine what, if any, effect there was on economic development. The question was, were our charges an impediment to economic development? How do we stack up against other cities? The findings of the study, of the independent analysis, were that our charges were based upon a fair and equitable method for charging for excess capacity to new users, and that our charges were about average for cities of comparable size west of the Mississippi.
Sure. But have they gone up?
They go up to the extent that we construct or pay for new facilities, build new facilities.
Yeah. But like, what were they in 1980? Or 82 or when?
They have been, I've been with the Bureau since 1981. I believe when I came to the Bureau, they were in the range of $600 to $650 per EDU. And as of right now, they are $875.
When these people look at that, then they're saying, gee, I'm paying more than somebody else for my little piece of the operation than somebody else did.
Those costs are all adjusted for basically inflation. And given the time value of money, at any point that you join the system, you basically pay reflective of the costs incurred by the system as of that date.
Okay. So this money is going to pay for systems that are already in the ground and operating, or are they going into a reserve for expanding the system?
Mr. Chairman, they are based upon costs already incurred. They are essentially a reimbursement to the system for costs already incurred. And one of the costs that's included in that is essentially the fact that if the system made, basically the cooperative or the utility, the ratepayers made an investment in a facility in 1970, the theory behind the reimbursement is that money came out of the system in 1970. The ratepayers at that time had a choice between putting money into that system or putting money in the bank and earning interest on it. So that if they invested in excess capacity in 1970 in anticipation of new users in the future making use of those facilities, then when the new users come online, they reimburse the current ratepayers for the cost of those facilities adjusted for replacement cost, what they cost would have cost today, less depreciation, the portion of those facilities that no longer are available to serve the new user.
What is your sewer charge per month?
Mr. Chairman, Portland's current residential sewer rate is $8.65. Of that, that actually covers two services. The utility offers both sanitary sewer services and drainage services, and those are costed separately. Of the $8.65, about $6.50 is for sanitary sewer services, and about $2 is for drainage services. In the unincorporated area, you pay the $6.50 because we don't provide drainage services outside the city.
Just one other question. When CH2M Hill looked at it, they were satisfied that you weren't taking SDC funds and using that to buy down the sewer rates for all the users in the system?
Mr. Chairman, that the SDCs are calculated completely based upon the actual cost of facilities already constructed. The revenue received is deposited in the sewage disposal operating fund and becomes the general revenue of the system. The fact of it is that our connection fees are always far less than our capital construction budget. So in one sense, how we use these funds in terms of buying down rates is a moot point because we always collect far less than what we spend on capital construction. We're always forced to borrow some. To the extent that these revenues come into the system, they enable us to borrow less, which in effect keeps rates down for everyone. It is the method by which reimbursement is made to the individual ratepayers who previously had their rates go up in order to finance the new construction to serve the new customers.
When you were sued on that on the LID in the south part of the county, of the city there, what was the basis of that suit? And have you had other suits that resulted in lowering of the assessments for LIDs?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you're referring to the lawsuit, I think it was about 4 years ago, wherein the city had a policy years ago where they had set the financing rate for sewer assessment, or for any assessment, actually, if you bankrupt bonded it, they set that interest charge on your financing at 7%, and it was fixed. And the reason they did that was because the actual interest rates were hovering around 6 or 6.5%, and it worked. There wasn't that much volatility in interest rates. Eventually, of course, in the late 70s, early 80s, interest rates went way up, and the city continued to levy a fixed 7% rate, even though the bonds were going for 10, 10.5%. And it didn't take long to determine that there was some trouble in the LID program because of that policy. The city council then adjusted the fixed rate from 7, moved it to 12% to reflect the new higher rates. And my understanding of the lawsuit was that the folks who filed the lawsuit determined that the bonds sold to finance their particular assessments weren't 12%, but more in the neighborhood, I believe, of 10.5%, and saw the city's policy of establishing a fixed rate of financing as unfair. The city lost the lawsuit and has since adopted a policy that the property owners pay financing charges equivalent to the actual bond sale associated with financing their assessment. So it floats. There's an interim rate, and I'm not certain, I believe it's 11 or 12% right now that you pay until the bonds are sold, but typically that happens within about a 6-month period. And then your rate is tied to the actual cost of the bond sold to finance your assessment. It had to do with the financing process, not really with the assessment process.
Okay. Debbie, do you have anything that's different?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Debbie Sagan with the City of Gresham. Mr. Gooley's description of how our charges work, or how the collection system and our major capital improvements like the wastewater treatment plant, pump stations, and interceptors are financed is exactly the same in the City of Gresham. There are a couple of things that we do differently than the City of Portland, and I'll just mention those. Number one, our permit fee for inspecting private plumbing is $25. That is a fixed fee. It hasn't changed in a number of years. And secondly, our system development charge is $1,000 per equivalent residential unit, which is just like an equivalent dwelling unit that the City of Portland has. The reason that our systems development charge is a little bit higher is that our system is supported by many fewer ratepayers and property owners than is the City of Portland's. We have an excellent example of SDCs in use right now in the City of Gresham because we're undergoing a $15 million capital improvement project to expand our wastewater treatment facility in order to handle the more than 7,000 households that will be connected in the Mid-County sewering construction program. So people for the next who connect to the sewer system from the Mid-County area over the next 15 years will be paying back the current ratepayers who are financing the construction of the wastewater treatment plant expansion. And that's the way systems development charges are expected to work. Our SDC, our $1,000 SDC, has been in place I believe since the earlier mid-80s. I believe that they were lower in 1980, comparing 1980 to 1989, and unfortunately I don't know what the difference is, but I'd be happy to get that information for you. Our monthly charge for sewers is approximately $8 a month. That charge has not risen in the last 3 or 4 years. We'll probably be undergoing a rate study. We try to do rate studies every 3 to 5 years, so we'll be due for another one in the next 18 months or so. Unless you have any other questions, I think the major issue for the city of Gresham is that we must show that the charges that we assess to property owners are used for improvements to the sewer system. And we cannot use those funds for any other purpose. Our sewer fund is an enterprise fund. Its use is restricted to improvements, both capital and operation and maintenance of the sewer system, so that there is no way that, for example, by connecting 7,000 properties in mid-Multnomah County, the city of Gresham could subsidize its general fund or its streets or anything else. Those funds must be used to make improvements to the sewer system.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
During the testimony up in Portland, there was testimony given about a positive cash flow. I think it was in reference to Portland's project and not Gresham's. And I believe that there was a graph passed out. I'm sorry I don't have a copy today, but I think you did get a copy that night. Could you comment on that, Dave? And what's the basis of those charges? And just tell me your thoughts on that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Weehage, that chart was created by our bureau for review by City Council and explaining to Council essentially the financing of the Mid-County project. There was great concern on the part of the city that city ratepayers would be making tremendous investments, seeing their rates increase, in order to provide sewer services to, at that time, largely unincorporated area of Mid-Multnomah County. That chart basically shows that early years in the project, there will be a net cash drain from the city sewer system, city sewer utility, to finance these charges, and that those costs will eventually be recovered through connection charges based, again, on the actual costs of facilities the city is providing, and that the city will eventually recoup those costs. The net effect is that you see in the early years a drain, and in the out years a positive increase in cash to the city. This same process has existed since the early 1900s, in that the sewer utility, like major electric utilities or water utilities, typically doesn't grow in small increments. It grows in large increments. The treatment plant is expanded typically in million gallon a day capacities, 5 or 10 or 15 MGD capacities, anticipating growth 20 to 50 years out. In order to make those large incremental finance those large incremental increases, current ratepayers have to make an investment for somebody else's use down the road. And you see in the early years, Dan, as we expanded our sewage treatment plant to provide secondary treatment in the mid-70s, city ratepayers dumped a lot of money into the sewage treatment plant. As new customers come online, they reimburse the city essentially through their connection charge, the key there being that the connection charge is based upon actual cost incurred by the city, less grants, less depreciation. And you see those monies come back. If that same pattern has existed since the days when the city extended sewer services to St. John's, it's existed since the city extended sewer services into West Portland, into Southeast Portland, it is always the pattern that you see early on investment that is eventually recouped through connection charges down the road. That is not, as is often alleged, somehow a profit, because first and foremost, the sewer utility by charter, by state law, is a separate entity from the balance of the city. There's no funds that go back and forth between the sewer utility and the city's general fund other than fees we pay for overhead services, attorney fees and accounting and payroll and that sort of thing. And we do pay a franchise fee to the city along with the Water Bureau, Pacific Northwest Natural Gas, and other utilities. No funds interchange there at all. The sewer is operated as a public utility. If we were making a profit, the first indication of that would clearly be that we would not have to be borrowing. We are issuing notes and bonds virtually every year since 1982, and we'll be continuing to do that into the foreseeable future because we don't derive sufficient funds from connection charges and rates to finance capital construction activities necessary to extend services and to meet new federal requirements.
Dave, what's missing from that chart in that case? Is it the payback of the bonds then? What you're saying basically is that the true cash flow situation is essentially a flat line if you took into account payback of the bonds. Is that
exactly right? And you would see if you moved that chart and extended the line in both directions, you would have seen other areas of the city in that same wave-like pattern. And if you extend that chart out, you will eventually see the connection fees in Mid-County fall off as the project is completed. And then you would see more investment, this time perhaps in the next treatment plant expansion or in new sewer facilities required by the Water Quality Act. And you would see once again then any new users coming along reimbursing the system for those improvements. So it's just a very stereotypical investment pattern for a large public utility. If we were publicly owned, I suppose, then some of those investments would be coming in instead of from connection charges from our stockholders, but we're not publicly owned.
Well, one of the fears is always that when there's a problem on the west side, and I think you do have problems when there's raw sewage going into the Willamette, even if the DEQ is not convinced it's a major problem. But when you solve that problem, is that money all coming out of the ratepayer, not out of the systems development charge or any from the interceptor fund? And
Mr. Chairman, there are two primary sources of revenue to the sewer system: user fees, which provides probably 90% to 95% of our revenue, and connection charges, which traditionally has provided less than 5%. In recent years, because of the rapid expansion of the system in Mid-County, it's going to approach 10% of our revenues. The utility operates essentially as a family in that every customer is treated equally in terms of the rates they pay and the services they receive. Once you're connected to the system, you pay the same monthly rate that anyone else pays. And if your sewer ever collapses or is in need of repair, the public portion, the city will do that at no cost to you. There's varying costs throughout the system. There are higher costs to serve some areas because of the need for pumping. There are other areas where their sewers are older and there's more repair activity underway. Everyone pays the same, though. We don't do any kind of zonal charging. If the sewer utility incurs costs dealing with the combined sewer system or new water quality requirements imposed by the Water Quality Act, then the utility as a whole will seek to solve and finance those improvements, and every ratepayer will pay the same amount towards that.
Mr. Chair?
Other questions? Representative Oakley.
What is the systems development charge in Portland? I know you said that earlier.
It's, Mr. Chair, Representative Oakley, it's $875 okay. for a single-family home.
Okay. Now, you talked about connection charges. Any average figure there?
The three charges that folks in Mid-County will be incurring will be that charge, the $875. Mm-hmm. They will incur a private plumbing cost necessary to connect to the sewer and do the necessary plumbing work on their own property. And that's going anywhere from $750 to $1,500, depending on the specific circumstances. And then there is the sewer assessment, which is the assessment of the actual cost of the sewer to serve their particular property. And that's been running around, most recently, I believe, around 55 cents a square foot of their property, which is measured by their frontage times their depth up to 100 feet in depth. We don't charge for beyond 100 feet.
Thank you.
Has there been, in either area, a noticeable increase in the cost or the worth of the property? I mean, we always talk about properties being benefited in a LID. And is there any evidence developing that people that are in an area that's sewered now are getting some economic recouping of their investment? Are those houses, the buyers discriminate between somebody that's hooked up and somebody that isn't? And have there been opportunities to sell lots and get other activity going that would defray some of those costs for some of the people?
Mr. Chairman, for Portland's experience in the development of the implementation plan, we hired an appraisal firm and asked them that question: what would be the effect on property values from the sewer project? And there's a couple of different concepts that were put forward. The first concept, relative to an individual home, for example, was that most folks perceive a toilet to be functioning if you flush and everything goes away, so that there would be not much interest whether the house was connected to a cesspool or a sewer as long as the toilet functioned. The conclusion from that view was that the cost of the sewer would be a net decrease to the property value because it would not improve the property or make anything new happen that hadn't happened before. Another view was that clearly vacant land cannot develop now without there's a dark cloud over any development on vacant land unless there's a sewer present. So the presence of a sewer to vacant property is probably having a positive impact. Along those same lines, economic development in general cannot happen in that area to any significant degree without the presence of sewers. That perspective is similar to the castor oil view that it's difficult to swallow, but once the project has been completed, the entire area will benefit significantly in that it will allow further infill to occur and allow further development of commercial and industrial properties. Most of the industrial properties are in the Gresham portion of the area, but there's still considerable vacant land in the area and the potential for further development and redevelopment of a lot of property also.
But you really can't say now that somebody that was hooked up 3 years ago versus somebody that's a mile away and doesn't have sewers yet, that there's a real benefit there.
Mr. Chairman, I think you could say that relatively among properties now there is a benefit. Two properties that want to, say, single-family homeowners who want to put their house on the market, if one can advertise that they've already had the sewer installed, they're in a much better position than someone advertising their home with that contingent liability still there.
Has there been any discussion of making certain that when property changes hands in the area that at least the sewer assessment is paid prior to the property moving?
Mr. Chairman, the city's Bancroft bonding program does allow the new owner to assume the financing payments for sewer assessment. However, typically lenders want all liens liquidated or removed before the ownership is transferred. So typically what a banker or a lender will do will be required that the assessment be paid off before the loan can be made. And there are a number of ways to accomplish that, but that's typically what happens with transfer property.
What about somebody that hasn't even been assessed yet? And somebody is there and they say, the sewer's coming. They put up the for sale sign and somebody rides in from Baker on a pumpkin wagon and gets off and says, gee, this is the lowest priced house in the area. And it looks so much better than the ones down the street. With the messy driveways, it looks, you know, like somebody's plowed up their front yard. And so they buy that one, and then they no sooner get moved in, and then they get greetings from the city saying, pay this money or go to jail or whatever.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that Oregon law requires real estate agents to disclose anything that like that, and I believe that's basically happening in the area. Both, essentially now, both all real estate agents, offices in the area, as well as lending institutions are pretty aware of the sewer program.
Yeah, I think if it would be financed, that certainly would be an area for discussion.
I believe that a property owner, I don't know this and I'm not an attorney, but I believe that a property owner, especially because we're providing every property with a 5-year advance notice of when the sewer will come, any property owner who would attempt to sell without revealing that to a buyer would be risking a lawsuit.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, the best way that we've accomplished that or tried to address that very issue is to make certain that title companies in the area understand what our implementation program looks like, when properties in the area may be expected to be connected to the sewer, so that when they are writing title insurance, they can make certain that they've checked all the particulars and that they can inform both the buyer and the seller of what may be happening down the road in terms of the sewer coming down the street.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering, there's a letter passed out. Did they want to comment on this?
Yeah, maybe this would be the best time.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Brad.